verse number 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we're going to work our way down these verses tonight, I pray, Lord, that you'd open them up to us, Lord. And Lord, as we stop and ponder, and I will not hurry our way through, and just see if we can squeeze out of these verses the heart of God. And we want to hear the voice of God, Lord, and we certainly want to please our God. So speak to our hearts, Lord. Teach us some things, or remind us of some things, so that we can, Lord, take this Bible study through the rest of the week. Lord, as we go about our daily lives tomorrow and the next day and Saturday, Lord, we can meditate upon these things. Lord, give ourselves wholly to them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. Old wives' fables, if you look up that little phrase there, it's talking about heathen or wicked, and even uses this word, or silly old women's cronish-like tales. How about that? I mean, that's something you know I got out of a book. I wouldn't have come up with that sentence. Silly old woman's cronish-like tales. But refuse those things. All right, we talked about that last week. We're going to refuse those, which, by the way, will free up a lot of your time. Stop and think about that. I think really what the Bible is saying here is, listen, we're going to talk about this idea of exercise. So what we're trying to refuse does not exercise anything that will benefit us. Matter of fact, we're talking about the difference. If you look at that first part of that verse, and refuse profane and old wives' fables, then when I picture that, I picture of two people sitting down and talking and just repeating things that really have no Bible basis, and talking about things that aren't founded in the Word of God, not productive, not helpful. And by the way, all they're doing is nothing. Nothing's produced out of it except talk, talk, talk. Now notice this, we're going from that scenario, refuse that, and then instead we see the word exercise come up here. Yes, exercise is a Bible word. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself, what does it say, rather unto godliness. So let's stop and take a look at that. It's really an interesting phrase. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. In verse 6, if you look back up at verse 6, I'm going to kind of just show you that the Bible is going to give us a parallel and talk a little bit about bodily exercise and the process we go through there, and then compare that to the spiritual life. In verse number 6, we see this, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. What's the next two words? Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So in verse number 6, we're talking about sitting down and getting nourishment. But then notice this, it switches over, and we're talking about, again, spiritual things, but it's being likened unto the way we are to care for our bodies. Yes, we need to eat. Yes, we need to have nourishment. And spiritually, we need to be nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine. But wait a minute, folks. Here's the balance. Yes, come and sit and eat and enjoy and consume the spiritual food that's presented. Get up in the morning, read your Bibles, and consume that. But then remember that that is for a purpose. Now watch this, that is for a purpose. It's really kind of interesting the way the Lord takes this thought and begins to associate it and parallel it with our bodies. You see, when we are nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, so we eat to supply the strength and energy, watch this, so that we can do something. And the same would be true of our physical bodies. You know, God has declared food through the scriptures. Think about this. God has declared food as work fuel. Now just kind of think about that. That's how God views food, work fuel. Say, where'd you get that? 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he. And so what God's declaring there is this. The reason you're to eat is so that you can nourish your body up and give it the strength to go work. And so God kind of pulls those two things together to the point where he says, listen, if you're not going to work, you don't have a right to eat. And so that's how strongly he connects it. Now, wait a minute, we're going somewhere with this spiritually, but isn't that good? Now, think about this. Here he then is going to talk about, not, he is going to mention bodily exercise because, again, we're comparing these two things. But he's the emphasis of the scripture is not on physical food and then bodily exercising your body or working or laboring. We're going to see the word labor come up here in just a minute. That's not the main gist of the scriptures. It's trying to get us to understand that, folks, yes, we are to read our Bibles. But you know what this is? Watch this. This is work food. Okay, you know what tonight's message is? Work food. You know what coming to church and listening to the Word of God is? You know what that is? That's work food. And God has expectations, just like he, I think, looks down with disdain and condemnation in the Bible for someone who wants to eat every day but won't work. I think he looks at condemnation to the Christian who wants to come and sit and listen and learn and feed upon the Word of God but fails to understand that the reason we do that is to give us the strength to go out and do something for the Lord, to accomplish something, to exercise ourselves. That word exercise, if you look it up, literally means to train, with the idea of somebody that's training to run a race or a marathon or training to be involved in some type of athletic competition. So now with that in mind, if we go back now and look at verse number 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. Okay, don't sit over there and eat junk food. Okay, get over here where you can feast on good doctrine, words of faith, and good doctrine. Watch this. Did you hear that? See this? I love this parallel, what's going on here. Okay, you try to live on junk food, you're going to start having some physical problems. You live on spiritual junk food, you're going to have some spiritual problems. He says, get away from that table, get over to this table, but after you sit at the table and get nourished up, go exercise. And so this matter of godliness, I kind of like this matter of godliness, is looked at not as something, watch this, not as something that you are, but something that you do. Could I say it this way? I think godliness in this portion of scripture, God's trying to convince us this is a verb, not a noun. And it's an action verb, not a state of being verb. In other words, godliness, people want to say, well, you know, that's such a godly person. Why? Oh, well, I don't know. They just stand around and smile and have an angelic look on their face. And from time to time, they mutter a few verses of the Bible. Listen, that's no evidence of godliness. You know how God recognizes godliness? Watch this. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. God says you have to exercise yourself to godliness. In other words, if I'm going to declare you as godly, y'all can decide what you think everybody else is godly around you, but I'm going to base it on whether or not you're willing to exercise after you've nourished up, fed yourself on the words of sound of faith and of sound doctrine. Now go do something with it. Go do something with it. And when God sees us do something with it, then he says, hey, there's a godly person. Now think about that. I've said this often, and I say it often enough that I'm hoping it's one of those things that just stick in your mind, but God is not impressed with how much Bible you know. He's impressed with how much Bible you live. Now just get that. Sometimes we think, you know, well, I'll tell you what, I've taken this course and this, and I've taken a correspondence course, and I've sat and listened, and I've been in church all this, and I know, and I know, and I know, and I know, and I know. Yeah, but what do you do? What do you do? Exercise thyself. Exercise thyself. You know, watch this, folks. I'll eat two meals today. And that's not unusual for me because I don't go dig ditches for a living. Okay? Honestly, I don't need to fuel my body like some of you men. Bob works scaffolding work. I don't care if he eats seven meals today. He probably needs seven meals. I don't need seven. I'll eat two meals today. Now, I eat 14 snacks in between the two meals, but at least I held myself down to two meals, and I'm really proud of myself. And, But honestly, we ate a kind of a early lunch, late breakfast, and then I did eat this afternoon a package of crackers. It was one of those, it was the white crackers and had the cream and chives like spread. Oh, it was good. It was really good. And so I had a package of crackers, and then when I go home, I'll eat another meal before I go to bed. And, you know, I'm kind of eating in such, I'm eating in proportion to my exercise, to my, what do I need? What does my body need to fuel what I'm going to do today? And the honest truth is a lot of times the reason people don't feast much on the Bible is you don't need fuel to, watch it. You don't need any fuel in the car if you're going to keep it in park all the time. You never have to go to the gas station if you never turn on the ignition switch. And the only thing is, watch this. The more, I'm trying to give this to you. The more you'll just get busy for the Lord, you know what it will do? It will drive you to the scriptures. Because you're going to figure out pretty quick that you can't sustain this. You can't do this. You know, I can't, if I went to, like, for instance, we took a last week, I got out of my, kind of got back into some things I used to do. We decided that I was going to take a pole barn, 30 by 40 pole barn on my property and move it from point A to point B, completely dismantle it, move it. And so, man, I, for several days, just threw on a work belt and just went back to what I used to do when I was young. And I'm still quite amazing at it. I'll just tell you that. When I was young, I pointed and told everybody else what to do, and I'm still doing that today. It seems like I haven't lost that, Chad. But you know what? Those days, you know what I did? I ate three good, sound meals. You know why? Because I was hungry. Because I needed that's the fuel I needed for what the body was going to do. Now, I really mean this. One of the things that will help you in your Christian life is this. If you'll get busy for God, you're going to find out pretty soon you can't do it very long unless you fuel up. Say, what's this whole deal about burnout? I see every once in a while Christians get burned out. I'll tell you what it is. They're running 100 miles an hour trying to do things for the Lord, and they're not stopping putting any fuel in the tank. Okay? I mean, you know, if you give out a lot, you better take in a lot. Now, that's just the way it is. That's why there is a certain protection that I have. And I mean an adamant, unapologetic protection for my Bible reading time and my study time and my prayer time. Folks, I give out too much not to take the time to fuel up. Okay? And, you know, because of that, someone who may not understand, you know, you go back to the book of Acts. It's very plain what God said. And very plain when in Acts chapter 6, why they got the deacons. It's very plain. And it said so that they could give the apostles, give themselves to prayer, ministry of the word and prayer. And the reason is because those apostles every day of their life were out sowing and preaching and giving out and giving out and giving out. And you know what? You can't do that very long if you're not fueling up. And there's certain things you've just got to do. Now, folks, that's just not for preachers. I mean, that's for any of us that are trying to serve the Lord. You know, I talked to a young preacher this week, and you know what? I mean, he was just about the point where, I mean, he was having one of those Elijah moments. Are you listening to me? Where he's just, you know, ready to curl up down by the creek and say, God, kill me and take me home and I can't do this anymore. And I mean, bless his heart. And so I start questioning him. And here's the thing. You know what? I won't go into the whole story of it and whatever. But you know what? Sometimes we think that quenching the spirit, you know, is only connected with sinfulness. But the honest truth is sometimes we are so much into service mode that we never stop. We never stop to refuel. We never stop. Listen, be careful when you do anything long enough to feel like you can do it on your own. And I don't care what that is. I don't. You can put that on the practical level. You can take that to the mine with you. You can take that building a house. I'm just telling you, be careful of anything that you've done long enough that you feel like you can do on your own. But preacher, I have done something long enough. I know, but you don't ever lose a reliance on the Lord. And never leave him out of it. I don't care if you've done something for a million times, on the millionth and one time that you do it, stop and pray. And if we just do that in all areas of your life, and you keep God in the mix, and you declare to God often your dependency upon him. Okay, folks, I've preached long enough. I really have. I've done this long enough that I could come up here and do it without praying. But it'd be Jerry Ross doing it. And if I do that very long, I can tell you what, it will not have the effect. It will not have the anointing. It will not help my church. I'm robbing you. I start robbing you. But you know what? I think every mom ought to feel like that. I really mean that. I mean, you know what you, well, I know another day with the baby's okay, but you need God today. And you need him the next day. And you need him the next day. I mean that. I mean, the Christian school teacher, well, I've done this for all right, but you need him tomorrow. And you need him the next day. And you need him the next day. And I don't care what it is. Preacher, I've had a bus route for 20-some years. Yes, and this Saturday, you can go on that route with him or on that route without him. You start going without him, you're going to figure out real quick, things don't work out real well. You just don't get to see the miracles. You just don't get to see. Hey, remember when you were so scared the first time that you spent, you know, hours the week, that week of the first time you've done anything for the Lord, scared out of your mind, begging for God's help, begging for God's power, you know, and just, and then God came through and it was like, oh my goodness, I did that and he helped me. And but now we've done it for years and now we can just walk into that Sunday school class. Sunday school teachers, please, I don't care how long you've taught a class. You know what? You need God this Sunday to help you teach that class. And so we see this idea of kind of of the godliness being compared to the physical realm. Now there is a statement here that we won't pass up, verse number 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now it says in verse 7, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And it does say bodily exercise profiteth a little. And so since it does profit a little, we're going to talk about it a little. All right, just a little. And the Bible's not discounting that. But it goes on to say this. It says that godliness is profitable unto, what's the next two words? Okay, so bodily profiteth, exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now, it's going to give a little bit of an explanation. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come, which means bodily exercise really just benefits your earthly life because that's as long as you're going to have your earthly body. But godliness profits your earthly life and into the hereafter. It's something that you'll carry on. And let me just say this, and I'll just say a few words about it. But I think it is important that God does emphasize this and at least say, hey, you know what, Christians? Let's take good care of the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Exercise is not a bad word. It's not a bad thing. And, you know, especially, you know, some of you men, you work very physical jobs. You know what? You do not have to spend any time when you get home exercising. You need to spend time resting. But there's others of us that our jobs are not as physically taxing. And you know what? What I need to do is spend my off times sometimes exercising and doing the things I ought to do in order just to keep myself in. Listen, folks, young people, it may not seem like a big deal at your age because, man, you don't have to stretch. You don't have to warm up. You don't have to get into shape. You just get up every morning, your feet hit the ground, you run a million miles an hour. You don't know what a sore muscle is. You haven't even discovered that yet. But you take care of take care of your bodies in your youth. Because you know what? You're stuck with that thing for a long time. And honestly, if I could honestly have people stand up and say, you know what? Really, when I was young, I did not take good proper care of my body. And I'm suffering some of the physical problems because of that. So just take care of yourself, you know? Eat smart. Every once in a while, eat a vegetable. Just don't eat peas. We need to just, you know what we need to do? We just need to get in shape around. Let's just get in shape. Isn't a circle a shape? So we get in shape around him. I think I've worked it out. So I've been thinking about saying this all day, and I'm going to regret it right now. Okay, I'm going to say something, and then I got to go through with it. It's nothing bad on you. It's going to be bad on me. But I think I've got it worked out. It's one of those things, you know. I think everybody ought to have short-term goals, long-term goals. Most of you heard of a bucket list. I don't even know why they call it that, but something to do with a bucket. I don't know. But one of the things that I was talking to my wife about, that I said, you know, I've got to do if I'm going to do, is I've always wanted to go at least one time out west and go elk hunting. And so I think I've got it worked out. I had an opportunity to kill an elk once, and then Tom Walton caught me as I was sneaking in the back of the property. And spent a couple nights in jail, and I decided maybe there was a better way to do that. So, but now here's the problem. I think I've got all the situation. I think the Lord's worked it all out where I'm going to be able to go next September and go for on a 5-day elk hunt. I might say the Lord's worked it out. He's worked some things out, and then I'm going to help him, I think, try to work the rest of it. Which means, you know, I'm not going now. As soon as I say, all right. But the one thing the guy that's out there tells me is you've got to be in shape. And so, because you get into those high altitudes, you know, and you've got to be in shape. So I'm the kind of guy that I need motivation to do this, because I really don't, I don't want to get in shape. I really don't want to. I kind of enjoyed not really not being in very good shape. So, you know, because getting in shape hurts. And so I don't really want to have to hurt. So I thought, okay, I got to take this seriously. I got to go back to running. Now, I'm not going to do it now. I'm just telling you, if you want to take off and do it in the wintertime. But so I'm going to start in this, when the weather breaks, hopefully about hopefully the winter will last till July. That way I won't have to start till somewhere off into the summer. But I got to have, like, motivation to do this. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get where I can run 2 miles and run it in a timely fashion. How many of you have ever run 2 miles in your life? Raise your hand. You've run at least. All right, look at that. All these candidates. You're going to help me, all right? August 1st is on a Saturday, 2015. August 1st. Everybody that wants to. Are you writing this down? This is important. August 1st, 2015. Everyone that wants to will meet at my house. All right, we're closing. No, this is important. All right, you're in now. You can't get out of it. You are in, all right? If you're a teenager and you don't show up, we're going to excommunicate you from the church, all right? Because you guys ought to be able to get up right now and run 2 miles. 2 miles. Meet at my house. There's that gravel road that runs from my house. It's a mile down. It's a mile back. So we'll just have like this, you know, marathon. And I've already got it pictured in my mind how this is going to work. I'm going to be working hard. I'm going to get into shape. Most of you won't take it seriously. You're going to think you can just show up. I'm going to be ready. And I am going to take off, and I'm going to whip every single person all the way down. And as I'm coming back and you're still trying to get there, I will be trash-talking you and taunting you, you know, calling you guys girls and calling you girls something else. I don't know, but I'm just going to let you have it. And I mean, this is for Marines too. They're for, you know, guys that used to be able to do this stuff. You know, this was for Marines too. All right, yeah, we're calling you out. And then here's the thing: if we do that, we get in shape. We all do that. Then when we come back to the house, we will have tables full of all kinds of stuff that we shouldn't eat. Yes, it's a balanced Christian life, man. You know, you want to keep things in balance. So we come back. We'll put Mrs. Whittington in charge of that, and we'll come back, and she'll have this huge spread of all kinds of food that they only serve in Wisconsin, you know, like cheese curds and other things like that, you know. And I didn't even know what one was till I went up to Wisconsin. Now, how many of you are, right now, come on, you don't have to pray about it, I'm in on this. Well, that is not as many hands as went up just a minute ago. All right, August 1st, all right. You got that, honey? Put it in the calendar. August 1st, we got this. All right, I'm scared to death now, because if a girl beats me, my life is over. Who's a good runner? I mean, but long distance, yeah, she's fast. She's a sprinter, but she can't keep up when it comes to long distances. I ain't worried about her. She can't even sprint. All right, it's on then. All right, we'll see. So that had nothing to do with anything except I want to go elk hunting. I need to get in shape. There's no way I'm going to do it on my own. So now I've challenged the entire church, August 1st. Josh, I didn't see your hand go up. Did your hand go up? Okay. I mean, as long as legs as he does, that's almost not fair. Like a mile's got like a half mile for you. Just, what's that? Yeah, you can run 4 miles. Somehow that doesn't seem fair. All right, where am I? Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness, that's where we're at, is profitable unto all things. Having promised, Mom, are you in on this? You in on this? Chicken. We could do one for the senior saints, like Special Olympics or something like that. Something like that. I'm in trouble. I'm planning on winning. You gonna do it? Wheelchair? I have to push you in a wheelchair?
No, I'm gonna go borrow my oxygen.
That's a good idea. You got a suggestion here? No. Absolutely. No. Come on. You want to put everybody on like a drill sergeant workout thing, don't you? Oh, man. Would it help me to be able to win this if I, like, did more than run? All right. Godliness is superior. It is profitable unto all things, both on earth and in heaven. It's profitable unto all things. Profitable to those. I like this. You know what? You know why the action of doing something is so profitable? You know why godliness in action is profitable? Think about this. Because it helps and affects the person that you're doing it for. But you know what? It also affects you in the doing. I was reminded of, and I think I wrote it in here somewhere, or copied the verses, but James warns us of the same concept of being careful, folks. Don't come sit at the table and eat all the time, and then don't exercise yourself to godliness. James, through inspiration, put it this way, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now think about this. Listen to this verse. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That is such an important phrase there. One of the things that's great about when you turn feasting and nourishment time into activity is the blessing that comes through the activity. You know, work is a blessed thing. We were talking this week about a guy that's really gone into pretty bad depression. And one of the reasons he's going into depression is because he hasn't been able to find a job. And I thought to myself, that I was talking to another guy about this party, and I said, you know what? Can you imagine? Now watch this, folks. Those of us that work all the time, you know, we always think, man, a few days off would be awfully good. But the honest truth is, too much time off for anybody, not doing something, not being productive, always leads to some type of depression. It's just, you know why? Because we weren't wired to be that way. You know where the blessing is? The blessing's in the deed. The blessing's in the word. Yes, we can come and hear, but and we'll be blessed by hearing, but the real blessing, he shall be blessed. He said, be careful that you're not just a hearer only, not a doer. You're deceiving yourself. You think you're being blessed, but you're not being blessed near as much as you would be if you took what you heard and do it. But not only that, notice how it safeguards us from being a forgetful hearer. Okay, forgetful hearer. Now think about that. You know, if you don't have any stake in the matter, if you're there just to enjoy the message and hope preachers, you know, does something crazy like I did tonight and says something that'll keep my, but the honest truth is, you're not actively doing something where I'm facing a crisis, I'm trying to help somebody, I'm trying to get through something, I'm trying to bring somebody to maturity, I'm trying to help somebody with a problem. So you come, if you're doing that, when you come to church, you're listening because you know what? You're looking for what you need to go back and help you to do the work better. But if you're not doing the work, you know what you do? You listen and you're blessed, but as soon as you walk out the door, I guarantee you, you become a forgetful hearer. You know why? Because there's no need to retain the information. It was nice to know, but since I never do anything with what I know, I really don't need it very long. And so that whole idea just keeps coming together in Scripture over and over. A few more minutes. It's profitable. Godliness is profitable. Profitable to those you help and serve, and more profitable to those who are the doers. You'll be blessed in your deeds. So think about this. Think about godliness this way. Exercise. First of all, if I'm going to exercise and have the strength to, I've got to have nourishment. And I'm not going to get it at the junk food table. I'm going to get it over here where they're serving the sound doctrine. And I'm going to get over here where they're serving the word of God. And they're serving things that are helpful. And then as I consume the nourishment, I'll then have the strength to be able to train or exercise myself unto godliness as an athlete would train to compete. Now I have the strength to do it. Now look at verse 10 and 11, and we'll read these, comment, and be done. And now, for therefore we both, there's the word. Where? What is it?
Labor.
Are you looking at verse number 10? For therefore we both labor. What's the therefore, therefore? You know, Dad always said, when you see a therefore, what's it there for? It's talking about what came before it. Okay, what he was saying was this, you know, you get nourishment, yes, so that you can exercise yourself unto godliness. How do you do that? You do that when you go out and labor for the Lord. Pray the Lord of the harvest that the Lord, that he would send forth labors unto the harvest. And so the prayer and the desire is this. So it's a balance. It's a wonderful thing. Yes, we want to come to church. Yes, we want to have our devotions. Yes, we want to read the Bible. Why? Knowledge puffeth up. If all we do is just do it to gain knowledge, then pretty soon we're not doing anything. And yet we think we're a great Christian because we know all this stuff. But God says, godliness is the finish line of the race. If you want to get to the godliness and break that tape down there, then you exercise yourself to that. You can come and sit and be nourished, but you exercise yourself unto godliness. And so that's the challenge for us. For therefore we both labor, and then this is attached to it. It's almost like, and we're going to get into this a little bit later on in the chapter. He's going to shift gears here later on into the book. But notice what it says there. For therefore we both labor, and as you labor, you know what's going to happen? You're going to suffer reproach. And again, we're going to reach back and get this idea a little bit later on and bring it into another chapter. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And then that verse number 11 is kind of a neat verse. And God inspires Paul in writing to a young preacher to stop every once in a while and just saying something like this. It's really kind of interesting, even this portion of Scripture, how many times he kind of stops and just gives him encouragement. For instance, verse number 9, this is a faithful saint and worthy of all acceptation. And then he says, verse number 11, these things command and teach. So he tells him something and he stops and says, now you preach this. Now you teach this. Okay, and then he teaches something else. Now, this is worthy. This is worthy of all acceptation. You make sure you emphasize this. So what we did tonight was something that the Bible encourages us to do. These things command and teach. These things command and teach. Command and teach what? That it's important to come to church. It's important to read your Bible. It's important to listen to sermons. It's important to read good books. But you know what that is? That's nourishment. So that you can then exercise yourself rather into godliness. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord, and the Scriptures. And we just a handful of verses, but oh my goodness, so packed full of information and exhortation. And Lord, thank you for the emphasis tonight. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we study the Bible and read the Bible, memorize the Bible, hear the Bible preached, Lord, as we gain nourishment, that we'll, Lord, always be looking for opportunities to take that and do something with it, God. And Lord, just as a man who cannot work or doesn't have the opportunity to work soon lapse into a state of mind that's not healthy, a Christian who does not work for the Lord soon begins to have a mindset and a state of mind that's really not a healthy thing. So help us, Lord, to just go do the work. And help us to be able to, Lord, discern your will and to busy ourselves, dear God, in fulfilling your will in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name.